More than 80% of self-made millionaires in America began with nothing, or in many cases, less than nothing. I can certainly relate to that because when I was growing up and right into my early 30s, I never had any extra money with which to start a fortune. It seemed to me that there were always enough, if not more than enough, bills to absorb every penny I earned. I was always in debt, and even if a great business opportunity did come along, I wouldn't have been able to do anything with it. Now, as I began studying financial success and self-made millionaires, I noticed that almost everyone around me was in pretty much the same boat. The idea of becoming really wealthy was a distant dream with very little possibility of coming true. You may be in the same situation with more bills than money or assets. The statistics are a little scary. Of 100 people who reach retirement age, according to insurance industry statistics, only one will be wealthy. 4 out of the 100 will be financially independent, 15 will have some savings put aside, and the other 80 will be dependent on pensions, still working, or broke. And this after a lifetime of well-paid work in the most affluent society in human history. Now, why does this happen? Well, according to Vanita Van Caspel in her program Money Dynamics, there are two main reasons why people retire poor, as we mentioned in session one. First, they never decide to retire rich. They wish and hope and pray, but they never make a firm, unequivocal decision that they're going to do it. Second, even if they do decide to retire rich, they procrastinate until it's too late. They always have some good reason for putting it off. If you sincerely want to beat the odds, achieve financial independence, and retire wealthy, there are 4 critical steps that you must take, all starting with the letter D. The first step is desire. You must want it badly enough to make an unshakable commitment and to be willing to make sacrifices. The second D is decision. You must make a decision right now to do whatever is necessary, to be willing to pay any price, go any distance to achieve your goal. The third D is determination, which is to keep at it until you succeed, in spite of all the problems and obstacles you will experience. And the fourth D is discipline, the discipline to master yourself to develop the habits necessary for achieving financial independence. Those are the 4 Ds: desire, decision, determination, and discipline. And you can measure how successful you're going to be in the future by measuring how well you're doing in each of those on a scale of 1 to 10. Now, going on, there are basically 5 ways that you can become wealthy starting with nothing in America based on over 25 years of research into American millionaires. Number 1, you can inherit it. Less than 10% of wealthy Americans inherited their money, and it's less and less every single year. The second way that you can become wealthy is you can achieve it professionally, as we talked about before. You can become a doctor or a lawyer or an architect or an accountant. You can become extremely good at what you do, be paid very well, and hold on to the money. The third way you can achieve it is you can become a senior executive of a large corporation. You can be highly paid, you can have stock options and bonuses, and if you stay with a company long enough for enough years, you can be paid enough to become wealthy. The fourth way is you can win it, but only a tiny fraction of 1% of wealthy Americans got that way by winning their money some way or another. As a matter of fact, the odds against you winning in a lottery or winning in a horse race are the equivalent of lightning striking twice in the same place. They're millions and millions to one. Now, the fifth way that you can become wealthy is you can start your own business and earn it all by yourself. Starting your own business has been and will always be the high road to becoming wealthy for most self-made millionaires. Entrepreneurship in America offers more opportunities and opens more doors than all other possibilities put together. This is why it has been said that if you have the ability to start your own business and you don't do it, you're a fool. I'll repeat that. If you have the ability to start your own business and you don't do it, you're a fool. For the remainder of this program, I'm going to concentrate on sharing with you a series of ideas, methods, techniques, and success systems that you can use in a variety of areas to begin moving yourself toward financial independence. Every idea or recommendation in this program has made someone, often hundreds or even thousands of people, into self-made millionaires. How far you can go with this material is up to you and will depend solely on your personal levels of desire, decisiveness, determination, and discipline. Where do you start? You start by getting your finances under control. The very first thing you do is you make a decision to get your finances under control. Some years ago, a man named George Klassen wrote a book called The Richest Man in Babylon. It's a classic on financial success, and what Klassen said in that book was that the key to becoming wealthy is to pay yourself first. take 10% off your income, off your gross income every month, and put it aside. Learn to live on 90% or less of your gross income. So the very first thing that you do is you begin to save your money. Throughout the history of American enterprise, you've heard the words work hard and save your money. Work hard and save your money. It has always been the oldest rule for success in America. It's so important, as a matter of fact, that W. Clement Stone once said, "If you cannot save money, then the seeds of greatness are not in you." And I'd like to repeat that. If you cannot save money, then the seeds of greatness are not in you. Why is it that saving money is so important? Because saving money is a discipline, and any discipline affects all other disciplines in your life. If you do not have the discipline to refrain from spending all the money that you earn, then you are not qualified to become wealthy. And if you do become wealthy, you'll not be capable of holding on to it. Now, another principle with regard to saving your money is the law of attraction that we talked about. The law of attraction is activated by saved money. Even $1 saved will start to attract more money. $5 saved, $10 saved. So here's what I suggest that you do. If you're really serious about your future, go down and open a savings account. Put as much money as you can into it, even if it's only $10. And then begin to collect little bits of money, and every week go down and put something into that account. You will find that the more you put in that account, the more you will attract from sources that you cannot now predict. But if you do not begin the savings process, if you don't begin putting something away towards your financial independence, then nothing will happen to you. The law of attraction just simply won't work. Once you begin to accumulate money, here's another rule. Invest the money conservatively. Marvin Davis, a self-made billionaire in America, was once asked by Forbes magazine, "How do you account for your financial success?" And he said, "Well, I have two rules for financial investing." He said, "Rule number one is don't lose money." He said, "Whenever I'm tempted, whenever I see an opportunity to invest where there's a possibility I could lose it all, I just simply refrain from putting the money in." Rule number two is, whenever I get tempted, I refer back to rule number one. Don't lose money. Now, Klassen says in The Richest Man in Babylon that the key is to accumulate your funds and then invest it very conservatively. One of the characteristics of self-made millionaires, one of the characteristics of old money in America, is that it's very cautiously, conservatively, and prudently invested. Don't try to get rich quickly. Concentrate, rather, on getting rich slowly. If all you do is save 10% of your income, put it away, and let it accumulate at compound interest, that alone will make you wealthy. Remember, $100 per month at 10.5% interest over 40 years will be worth over $1 million. I remember listening to a bank president who had worked with many, many millionaires over the course of his career. And at his retirement dinner, he talked about the characteristics of millionaires. And the one thing that he said was that he had met sailors and clergymen and laborers and teachers and crane operators and farmers and men and women from all walks of life who had become millionaires over the course of their working lifetimes. And the one thing they did was they saved their money and they invested it carefully, cautiously, and prudently. The wonderful thing about saving is that saving develops character, discipline, and self-confidence. When you begin to save money, you feel like the master of your life. It gives you a sense of being in control of your own destiny. One of the major reasons why people are unhappy and anxious and frustrated today is because they don't have any money in the bank. And when you start becoming the kind of person who saves his or her money, it'll have such an impact on your character that you cannot now imagine it. All right, now let's talk about businesses. Most businesses started by inexperienced people fail. Probably the primary reason why people don't start businesses is because they're afraid that they're going to lose their money, and for good reason. 99% of businesses started by people lacking business experience fail within the first 2 or 3 years. And why is that? It's because they don't know how. They haven't the slightest idea how to make a business successful. They may have an idea for a product or service, but they don't know all the things that they need to know to run a successful business. However, surprisingly enough, 80% of businesses started by experienced business people succeed. Now, why should this be so? The reason is because experienced business people know what to do. They know how to purchase their products and their services. They know how to negotiate with their suppliers. They know how to raise money. They know how to negotiate leases. They know how to sell and to market. They know how to manage their finances. In other words, experience is the key. In order to start your own business and succeed, you have to learn how. Now, according to Dun & Bradstreet, 96% of businesses in America that fail, fail because of what is called managerial incompetence. Managerial incompetence means that the people running the businesses don't know what they're doing. And here are the two critical areas of managerial incompetence that cause business failure. First is sales and marketing. 48% of businesses that fail in America fail because the business cannot sell enough of its products or services. Very few businesses fail when they have high levels of sales and revenues coming in. The second reason that businesses fail, 46%, is because of poor cost control. They may be selling enough on the front end, but they're losing so much on the back end that they go broke anyway. Now, both require experience. Sales and marketing, financing and cost control, both require experience. And if you're serious about becoming financially independent, you have to learn how to do both of these. Remember we talked earlier about the law of correspondence that says, as within, so without. It says that your outer world of results will always mirror your inner world of preparation. You must learn the skills you need to be successful. Business success is not a matter of luck. Business success is a matter of application. It's a matter of ability. It's a matter of experience and skill and intelligence. And wonderfully enough, you can learn what you need to know to be successful. And you can start by learning through on-the-job training, which is called OJT. Most successful business people become successful because they get all their training by working for someone else. Ross Perot was a top salesman for IBM before he started EDP Industries and eventually became a billionaire. He learned what he needed to know to sell and to market by working for another company. So here's what you do. Go to work for a company in your field. Be willing to put in 5 years to get your experience. Remember, companies started by people with more than 5 years of business experience are far more likely to be successful than any other type of company. Once you're working for a company, take all the training you can get. Take every single course that comes along. Take seminar brochures to your boss and ask if your boss will send you to these seminars and courses. And if your boss won't, take them yourself. Always view yourself as self-employed. Do you know why? It's because you are. Treat the company you work for as though it belonged to you, because in a way, it does. The biggest mistake that you can ever make in life is ever to think that you work for anybody else but yourself, is that you are self-employed. You are the president of your own personal services corporation. And the more you act like you're self-employed and treat your company as though it belonged to you, the faster you're going to grow and the more you're going to learn. Now, there are five essential abilities for business success. These are the abilities that you must develop if you want to start and build your own successful business in America. You can learn them on the job. You can learn them by transferring from one position to another or from one company to another to get this experience. The first ability is the ability to plan, to organize, and to get results. It's the most valuable and highest paid ability in America, the ability to get results. So accept responsibility for results in your company. Volunteer for everything. Take on responsibilities. Work long hours. Learn how to get results for others and have them absorb the cost of training you before you need to get results for yourself. The second ability is the ability to communicate, to persuade others, and to sell your ideas. So learn how to sell, take courses, become a salesperson, move into sales in your company, practice, learn public speaking. Remember, people skills, the ability to interact with others, account for 85% of your success. The third ability is to select the right people, to build effective teams, to get people to cooperate and to work together. In fact, this is considered to be the number one skill for executive promotion in America, the ability to work together effectively with other people, to draw together an effective team. Lee Iacocca turned Chrysler Corporation around by bringing on 35 new vice presidents in his first 3 years at the helm of Chrysler. What he did and the reason he was hired was because he could put together a winning team. Now, the fourth ability that you need is the ability to negotiate. All successful business people are good negotiators. They can negotiate among conflicting interests with the people that you're working with. They can negotiate with bankers. They can negotiate with suppliers and customers. They can negotiate with staff. You must become an excellent negotiator because the alternative is that you'll always be out negotiated. The fifth ability that you need is the ability to understand accounting, business financing, and cost controls. It's amazing how many people have built successful businesses on the front end by having the right product or service and selling lots of it and lost their shirts on the back end because they did not understand the financing of their business. They did not understand accounting. So take the time to learn and understand finance. You need the ability to work with banks, to work with financial institutions, to draw up loan proposals. to be able to read your balance sheets and your financial statements and to explain them to other people. So those are the five: the ability to get results, the ability to communicate, the ability to pick the right people, the ability to negotiate, and the ability to understand finance. And you can learn those through on-the-job training. Now, what you can't learn on the job, you can learn off the job while you have what we call the big four. While you're working, you still have a paycheck, you still have time, you have contacts, and you have growing experience. So take every advantage that you possibly can of the fact that you're still employed to learn what you need to go solo. As you learn while you earn, begin gathering information on the business that you're interested in. Read magazines like Inc., Venture, Success, Forbes, Fortune, Entrepreneur, and of course, read your local business section of your local newspaper from cover to cover every single day. If you can, read the Wall Street Journal. Immerse your mind in what is going on in the world of business. Sometimes one idea, one insight, one article that you read somewhere will change the whole direction of your life. Once you've picked a business that you like, the first thing you have to do is learn every detail of the business. This comes from the rules of Baron de Rothschild, one of the most successful financiers in history. And what he said, before you invest, before you put your time or money in, learn every detail of the business. Don't be casual about the business. Understand it intimately. Understand where the products and services come from, how they're developed, who they are sold to, how they're used. Understand what competitors do. Understand every detail of the business. All successful business people know their business intimately, detail by detail. The way that you do this is by studying the most successful companies in the business or industry in which you're interested. Find out why other companies are succeeding, what they're doing right, and look at companies that aren't succeeding and try to analyze what they're doing wrong. Analyze the reasons for success, analyze the reasons for failure, and then look for ways to do things better. Remember, all you have to do is find a way to do something 10% better than it's currently being done, and you can build a fortune. All you need to be is 10% new to start you off on the road to success. Entrepreneurship is the art of finding profitable solutions to problems. Every successful entrepreneur, every successful business person has been a person who has been able to identify a problem and come up with a solution to it before somebody else did. Here are the rules for entrepreneurship. First, find a need and fill it. Ross Perot, when he was working for IBM, saw that his customers who were buying IBM computers needed help in processing their data. He went to IBM with this idea, and they said they weren't interested, so he started his own business. He eventually sold it out for $2.8 billion. He found a need, and he filled it. The second rule is to find a problem and solve it. A secretary working for a small company began mixing flour with nail varnish in order to white out the mistakes she was making in her typing. Pretty soon, her friends in the same office asked if she could make some for them. So she began mixing it on her kitchen table. Pretty soon, people in other offices started asking for it, and she eventually quit her business and worked full-time creating what is called liquid paper. A few years ago, she sold her company to Gillette Corporation for $47 million. So find a problem and solve it. Find a problem that everybody's got and see if you can't come up with a solution for it. Find a way to supply a product or a service better, cheaper, faster, or easier. Kemmons Wilson saw that there was a need for hotels that could accommodate families that were traveling, and he started Holiday Inns. And Holiday Inns has now become one of the most successful hotel chains in the world. Or focus on the customer always. Now, here's the key to success in business. Become obsessed with your customer, fixated on your customer. Think of the customer. Think of what the customer wants, what the customer needs, what the customer will pay for, what the customer's problems are. Thomas J. Watson Sr., the founder of IBM, taught his people and built his company on this principle. See yourself as working for the customer. Once you come up with a problem or an idea, then start to invest your time, talent, and energy instead of your money to get started. Remember this, most great personal fortunes in America were started with an idea and with personal efforts. Most great fortunes were started with the sale of personal services. This is called sweat equity. In other words, instead of cash equity, put in sweat equity. Put in the sweat of your brow to begin your business. One of the ways that you can start off with little or no money is to start exploring second income opportunities. You can learn valuable lessons operating on a small scale. I know people who started their business careers By buying things and selling them at flea markets and at swap meets, they learned how to buy and sell, they learned how to negotiate, they learned how to compromise, they learned how to pick products or services. Remember, the only way to triumph is to try. The only way to succeed is to fail and to learn through your failures. The only way to learn to be successful in business is to practice, practice, practice. And if you're not willing to practice, if you're not willing to put in the time to learn, then it is not possible for you to succeed in business. But if you are willing to put in the time to learn, remember about 95% of the working population in America have the ability to start and build their own businesses if they would only do it. Multi-level marketing, for example, is an excellent second income opportunity where you can learn vital business skills at low cost, especially selling, organizing, making presentations, accounting, team building, negotiating, persuading, and communicating. 85% of what you need to learn to be successful in business you can learn from running a successful multi-level marketing business. Remember this, though. Leaders are always willing to do what is called dog work. They're willing to render humble service. They're willing to roll up their sleeves and plunge in. They never think of themselves as being too good for a job. There are an enormous number of people who are presented with second income opportunities who turn them down because they think that they're too good to do something like that. But the people who are thinking that they are too good are the people who retire poor. You'll find that leaders of all organizations are always willing to roll up their sleeves and to get in there. Now, if you're looking at a multi-level marketing opportunity, here are 8 key considerations. Look for a multi-level business which has, number 1, quality products with a good reputation. Never waste your time trying to sell anything that is not of excellent quality. So quality products is the starting point of your success in business. No successful business can ever be built on an average or a mediocre product. Number 2, look for a company that has fair prices that compare favorably with the competition. Remember, nobody's going to pay more for your product or service if they can get the same or equivalent somewhere else at a lower price. So check the price comparisons. The third thing you look for is a 100% unconditional money-back guarantee. In other words, the product must be so good and the company must stand behind it so strongly that they're willing to give a 100% refund guarantee on anything that they sell. By the way, that's a very good rule for starting and building any business. The fourth key in finding a multi-level marketing opportunity is that there should be a small or zero inventory requirement. You should be able to get into a multi-level marketing business with very little money, not more than $100. The fifth requirement is that the company provides prompt delivery and efficient internal bookkeeping. A multi-level marketing business that's well organized will be able to deliver your products within 24 or 48 hours for you to sell or deliver to your customers, and they'll take very good care of the books and give you accurate financial statements each month. A sixth thing is look for a strong support organization. This is perhaps as important, if not more important, than anything else. Look for a support organization that will offer you training, that will give you seminars on product knowledge, that will give you motivation, and give you opportunities for personal and business development. Many people who have started with multi-level marketing companies have gone on to be very successful in their own business because of the training they got from the multi-level company. If the company doesn't have a training system, try to find a company that does. The seventh thing that you require is honesty and integrity. Make sure that the parent company has an impeccable reputation in the marketplace. Remember, it has to be a company that you can be proud of. You should never have to make excuses for the company you're working for. And finally, number 8 is that products should be consumable, leading to reorders and repeat business. You should try to sell a product that people use up and use on a regular basis so that if they're happy with it, they'll continue to reorder and reorder and reorder. And once you get a customer, sometimes you can have a customer for years. Another way that you can start off very inexpensively is in mail order. It's another business that you can run from your home with limited investment and low risk. One woman built a very successful mail order business by running a small ad called 101 Ways to Serve Hamburger. She put together a small booklet, 100 pages, of different ways that you could prepare hamburger for families that were short of finances. And she sold thousands and thousands and thousands of those booklets through the mail. Study the business very carefully before getting into it, but remember that more and more Americans are buying things through mail order, either through articles and ads in magazines, newspapers, and publications, or through catalogs mailed directly to the home. Mail order is something that you can get into, but again, study every detail of the business before you begin. Now, another thing that you can do, and I've recommended that many people do this over the years, is if you're starting off with no money, go to work part-time for a business in a field that interests you. It's a valuable form of on-the-job training. Work evenings or work weekends or work on your holidays if you like. Sometimes a business that looks tremendous from the outside will look terrible once you start working for it. But sometimes when you start working for a business, you start to get an intimate understanding of how it works and you get insights on how you can improve it. Remember this, though. Most businesses fail because of managerial incompetence. So take the time to learn what you need to know to succeed. Be patient. The time you invest before you start will pay off over and over again in the months and years ahead. Here are 7 formulas for business success. Number 1, set a specific goal and visualize it as a reality. Play the picture of your goal as already realized on the screen of your mind over and over again. Number 2, look for a problem you can solve with a product or service that is high quality and good value. All successful businesses are based on products or services that are high quality and good value. Number 3, start small and learn your business thoroughly. Be patient. Invest time rather than a lot of money. One of the best ways to build a business is to start off and bootstrap, which means you start off with very little and you grow your business with the money that you earn in the business rather than outside financing, borrowing, loans from friends, and so on. Number 4, test every major move before you invest in it. Test, test, test. Don't plunge in business. Move ahead carefully, one step at a time. Number 5, expand on the basis of your successes out of your profits as you move along. In other words, only expand your business on money that you've earned in the business, not on borrowed capital. Number 6, carefully select the people to help you expand and grow. The biggest mistakes you'll ever make will be in picking the wrong people to work with. So be very, very careful in picking the people you're going to work with in your business. And number 7, use financial leverage. Financial leverage is business borrowings, lines of credit from the bank, which are based on the cash flow from your successful business. Your aim is to develop cash flow and to hold on to it. The whole aim of starting a business is to develop a consistent, predictable source of cash flow in excess of cost and expenses and then to hold on to the money. Banks will lend you all the money that you can service as debt with your cash flow. Many business people achieve their greatest successes in unexpected areas. They begin a business and then they find that it isn't as profitable as they had anticipated, so they change direction, using their experience and their momentum, and strike pay dirt in something else. The most important thing is to begin, to take action, to move forward one step at a time, learning and growing as you go. There is enough information available in virtually every field for you to become knowledgeable enough to achieve success, but action is necessary. Success author Orison Swett Marden once wrote, "The first part of success is get-to-itiveness. The second part is stick-to-itiveness." Every business beginning requires an act of faith and courage, a bold leap into the unknown. Only 1 in 10 people who want to start their own businesses ever develop enough courage to begin and enough persistence to continue. Get-to-itiveness and stick-to-itiveness. The fear of failure, more than anything else, holds people back, paralyzes action, and it makes failure inevitable. Fortunately, even if you know nothing about business, you can begin with a dream, a castle in the air, and then build a foundation under it. The starting point of many great fortunes has been these 7 simple steps. Number 1, set a goal and back it with a burning desire. Number 2, begin accumulating capital with a regular savings program. Nothing else is possible without this. You cannot move forward until you start a savings program. Number 3, use your current job as a springboard to later success. Learn while you earn. Take the long view. Number 4, experiment in business on a limited scale so you can learn the key abilities necessary for success. Number 5, search for problems, needs unmet, products or services you can supply of good quality at reasonable prices. Number 6, read everything you can find on your chosen field. Remain flexible. Be willing to change your mind if you get different information. And number 7, implement your plans with courage and persistence. Have complete faith in your ability to succeed, and never, never give up. Ambitious individuals like you, with dreams and hopes, are starting new businesses today at a faster rate than ever before. Over 1 million new enterprises are being launched each year, and the rate is accelerating. The opportunities for finding or developing a new business idea are all around you, and with proper preparation, the possibilities for your success are enormous. As many as 80% of all the products and services in common use today at home, in business, and in organizations large and small will be obsolete in 5 years. They'll be replaced by new and better products and services. The rapid development of new technology and the desire of people for new or better or cheaper products or services means that you can start your fortune easier today than at any other time in history. However, we know that 80 to 90% of new businesses fail in the first 3 years due to a variety of factors. One of these factors is managerial incompetence, as we've discussed, especially an inability to sell the product or an inability to control costs or both. Another major reason for failure is offering the wrong product at the wrong price to the wrong market at the wrong time, or a combination of those, in which case even the best marketing efforts and cost controls won't help you. Ford's introduction of the Edsel in the 1950s is a perfect example. After spending $250 million, Ford finally discovered that there was no real market for a car of that kind at that price. Small business people often make the same mistake, just on a smaller scale. I'll give you some ideas on how to find a product, how to test market it, how to promote it, and how to expand your business once you get started. Now, the first principle with regard to selecting any new product is to determine that it fills a genuine existing need, that it solves a problem of some kind for the customer, or that it makes the life or work of the customer better in some way. And you must be very clear about that. The second principle for success with a new product or service is that it must be of good quality at a fair price. And if it is in competition with other similar products or services, it must have what is called a unique selling proposition. It must have some beneficial feature or attraction that makes it different and better and superior to its competitors. We call this its area of uniqueness, and it is central to success in business. No product or service can succeed unless it is somehow unique and superior to any other product or service like it. There is seldom any real opportunity in what is called a Me Too product, one that is just the same as all the others. At the same time, the safest business strategy is to start off with an accepted product that you can improve. In other words, instead of trying to invent a whole new business or industry, start off with something that people are already doing, people are already buying and using, and find some way to improve it. Remember, we gave the examples of commercial vending machines, or printing, or dry cleaning, or cookies, or fast food. They're all examples of established businesses that people go into and find some way to improve. The failure rates for brand new products or services in America are about 98%. The failure rates for tested products or services are only 20%. So by following the market, by bringing out an improved product or service, you can improve your odds of success from 50 to 1 to 5 to 1, which is a real difference. There are 7 reasons for business success. Look at where you work right now and see if these 7 reasons apply there. Number 1, the product or service is well suited to the needs of the current market. That means that people want it and need it and can use it and can afford it and are willing to buy it now. Number 2, careful market analysis is completed before commencing business operations. In other words, considerable thought goes into whether or not there's a market for it before the product was offered. Here are some of the questions that you have to ask with regard to market analysis. 2 key questions I ask whenever I do consulting for corporations. Number 1, with regard to this new product or service, is there a market? It's a very important question. Is there a market? Will people buy it? Now, here's the 2nd question. Is the market large enough? Is the market large enough and concentrated enough so that you can sell enough of the product or service at a high enough price to make a living out of it? For example, there may be a market for 100,000 of a particular product in the United States, but if it's 1 per community throughout the country, it's almost impossible to reach those people with any kind of advertising or sales effort. So the very fact that the market is not concentrated enough means that it would be impossible to make a success of a business selling 1 per community. Another question is, who is the customer? And why will he or she buy from you? Why does he or she buy? What benefits does he or she seek? And an important question is, why will he or she switch from their current supplier to buy from you? Many small companies go broke because they do not have a pressing enough reason for a person to switch from their current supplier to the new product or service. And here's another question with regard to marketing analysis. What else is available? What other products or services are available to the same customer that you're going after, and how is your product superior in a meaningful way to the other product or service? All right, the third reason for business success is tight financial controls, good budgeting, accurate bookkeeping and accounting. Remember, practice frugality. Be cheap, cheap, cheap. Hold on to your cash. Cash is the lifeblood of a business. All successful businesses have very careful financial controls. They very carefully consider every expenditure. They do an analysis of it. They work from very careful budgets, week by week, month by month, quarter by quarter. The fourth reason for business success, perhaps the central reason, is strong momentum in the sales department, an emphasis on marketing. Remember that the main job of a business is to create and keep a customer. In a successful business, everybody in the business thinks about creating, keeping, serving, and satisfying customers all the time. The fifth reason for business success, concern for the customer at all times is a top priority. You can always tell how good a business is by the way they treat their customers. You can always tell how good a business is by the way they answer the telephone when a customer calls. Concern for the customer at all times is a top priority in successful businesses. Number six, a complete business plan is developed before starting operations. Successful businesses are those that have carefully thought through every part of the business, done very careful budgets and break-even analysis, and have organized the business plan like a blueprint before they begin. Now, here's an interesting point. Most businesses do not follow the business plan. In fact, the business plan is very seldom ever looked at, and what usually happens in a business is very different from what was predicted. But the very exercise of working out a business plan forces the business starter to think through all the critical issues that are involved and causes him or her to be far more effective in making the business profitable. Now, the seventh is a high degree of determination, persistence, and patience on the part of the business owners. That is, you or the people who own the business that you're thinking about. Determination, persistence, and patience go hand in hand with business success. In my opinion, the keys to business success are simply, with regard to the product, sell, sell, sell. And with regard to your operations, frugality, frugality, frugality. The most important single skill you must develop for succeeding in your own business is the ability to sell yourself and your product to your customers. In fact, the ability to sell is one of the key skills for a successful life. With very few exceptions, all successful businesses begin with one person who is excited about the product and who is very good at selling it to others, who is very eager to sell it to others. But where there is no sales expertise, the finest product or service will fail. Now you've decided to start, how do you find a new product or service, recognizing that 80% or more will be new in 5 years? Here's a series of ideas. Number one, begin with yourself. Begin with your own talents, your abilities, your experience, knowledge, interest, background, education, and so on. Look carefully at your current work, your current business, your current position, or your current product or service. Seek for what is called your own acres of diamonds. Look under your own feet. Here's a question. What qualities account for your greatest successes in life so far? What personal qualities and abilities have gotten you to where you are? And how could you apply those qualities and abilities to starting and building a new business? If you already have a company, ask, what are your company's talents, abilities, experience, knowledge, interest, background, and so on? What qualities and talents and abilities have enabled your company to succeed up to now? Where can you specialize? Where can you make a difference? Number two is look for a product or service about which you can really become enthusiastic. Sometimes people become wealthy by translating or transforming their hobbies into a business. You will be most successful doing something or marketing something that you really love. Every product must have a champion. Every product or service must have someone in the business who really, really loves the product or service and is eager to get out and tell other people about it. Number three, look for something that is an improvement on an existing product or service, not something brand new. Look for something that's cheaper or better quality, or that has additional features or functions. Look for something that's an improvement. Remember, improving an existing successful product or service is the fastest and surest way to build a successful business. An idea only need be 10% new and better to capture substantial market share. As we said before, brand new products are very risky. Now, the fourth key to finding a new product or service is this. Don't look for easy money. Don't look for gimmicks or useless knickknacks. Don't look for get-rich-quick schemes or rewards without working, because there aren't any. More people have wasted more time and more life and more money trying to find quick ways to make money than you can possibly imagine. So be willing to put in 2, 3, 4, 5 years before you start making real money in a business. It takes 2 years to break even in the average business. It takes 4 years to show a profit. It takes maybe 8 to 10 years before it starts to generate real cash flow. So you have to be patient. If you're impatient, what will happen is you'll end up setting yourself further back than you can imagine. A fifth key to finding a new product or service is to read newspaper stories, read articles, read advertisements, read the classified ads. Very often when people have new products or services available in a market or they're looking for someone to sell it or distribute it, they advertise in the classifieds under business opportunities. Read all U.S. publications that are written for business people. Look for potential new products or services everywhere. A sixth way to find new products or services is to read trade magazines, especially in your field of knowledge or expertise. Libraries usually have them all. Go down to the library, take a look at all the magazines, and then subscribe to the very best ones. A seventh way to find a new product or service is to go to trade shows. You need only a business card to get into a trade show, and they hold trade shows everywhere all the time. Present yourself as a retail buyer. Sign up at the beginning, pay the entrance fee, and present yourself as a buyer looking to buy the products offered in the trade show. Then go in and talk to the key people there. Find out what they're doing, what they're selling, where the market is going, what the industry trends are, what is successful and what is unsuccessful, and so on. An eighth way to find a new product or service is your friends. Tell them that you're looking for new product ideas. Tell them you're looking for something to sell, something to distribute. Have them keep an eye out for you. Sometimes your friends will see things that you won't see, or they'll see things when they're traveling, and so on. A ninth way to find new products or services is to read Entrepreneur Magazine, read Success Magazine, read Inc., read Venture. Read magazines where people will advertise new products or services or business opportunities. Read the Wall Street Journal. Read Money Magazine. Read Fortune. Read Business Week. Read everything that you possibly can. A tenth source of new products is foreign publications. There are three foreign publications that you can get if you look around for them. One is called Made in Europe, which has hundreds and hundreds of products that are made by European corporations who are seeking U.S. distributors. Sometimes the distribution rights for those products are available for the asking. There's also a book called Made in Hong Kong, which has hundreds and hundreds of products made by Hong Kong corporations. And then there's another catalog from the Taiwanese Trade Consulate that's available that lists hundreds of manufacturers of thousands of products who are looking for U.S. distributors. Remember, 95% of all products are never sold outside of the country that they're manufactured in. Sometimes all you have to do is find a product that is selling well somewhere else and bring it into your market area, and that can be the start of your successful business. I heard of a gentleman who wrote away to a company that advertised in the magazine Made in Europe and got the right, a Dutch company, got the right to distribute a special type of plastic wheelbarrow in North America. He took the wheelbarrow to a gardening trade show, and in his first show, he took orders for 50,000 wheelbarrows because it was so unique, so innovative, so light, so corrosive-free. He sold 50,000 off of one sample. Now, I'm not expecting that you'll do the same thing, but keep your eyes open. An 11th place to find a new product or service is in your own field or skills. You may have a million-dollar idea in your own mind. Many people have had the experience of having an idea for a product or service nag at them over and over again, and you keep pushing it away or ignoring it. They say the average person has 4 ideas each year driving to and from work, any one of which would make them a millionaire if they would just follow it up. So look into your own field or skills. Look into your own mind. Look into your own ideas. A 12th way to find a new product or service is travel. Keep your eyes open for opportunities. A very good friend of mine, who is now a multimillionaire, started his fortune by traveling east and seeing a unique type of orange drink called Orange Julius, and then getting the exclusive rights to sell it in a large Western city. And from there, he expanded into other restaurants, into real estate, into apartments. he developed high positive cash flow from his Orange Julius business that made him a millionaire. Sometimes just finding a new product or service that is doing well somewhere else that hasn't come to your market area can make you wealthy. Remember, your objective when you find a new product or service is to acquire the rights to sell the product or service exclusively in your market area. Sometimes these rights are available for the asking. A gentleman I know named Peter Thomas got the rights for Century 21 to Canada simply by going to the offices and asking when Century 21 was a young company. From that, he turned Century 21 into one of the most successful real estate franchises in Canada, and he's now worth about $40 or $50 million, having taken the cash flow from Century 21 and channeled it into other real estate investments. Sometimes just asking for the right to sell it in your market area is all you have to do. Here's the key, though. Before you bring a new product or service back to your market area, be absolutely sure that it sells well somewhere else. Many people advertise products outside their market area because they are not selling inside their market area, so make very sure that the product is selling well. Number 13, keep your eyes and ears open and alert to new business opportunities occurring around you. Develop a money-making attitude. A friend of mine became very successful by leasing commercial property across the street from a new shopping center that was being developed. The traffic from the shopping center made that commercial space extremely valuable. He opened two businesses in it and started his fortune. So be alert to what is going on around you. Number 14 is this. Remember, you will only be successful marketing and selling something that you believe in, use yourself, and would recommend to your best friend. Many times I see people who make the critical mistake of trying to sell a product or service that they themselves would neither use nor afford, nor would they recommend to someone else, but they think that other people will buy it even though they wouldn't. So remember, you must really, really believe in the product. You must be excited about the product. You must absolutely believe that this product can enhance the life or work of someone else and then be eager to tell them about it. How do you do fast, cheap market research? How do you find out whether or not the product will sell before you get into it? Before embarking on any new business venture, considerable time must be spent in research. Your payoff will be in excess of 10 to 1 in time and money saved or earned. For every dollar, for every hour that you put into research, you're going to save 10 or 20 or 30 dollars or hours later on. So here's what you do. Number one is find out every detail of the product or business. Study it carefully. It's a very famous story about Walter Chrysler, who formed Chrysler Corporation. What he did is he went out and bought several of the most popular selling cars in America, took them home to his garage, and took them apart down to the very last nut and bolt, and then put them back together again. By the time he had done that with several automobiles, he had some very, very good ideas on how to create a car that was superior to any other car in America. He went out, formed Chrysler Motors, and the rest is history. Number two, before you embark on a new business venture, read trade magazines, articles, and stories on the business, industry, or occupation. Now let me give you a piece of advice which is worth its weight in gold. At every major library, there is what is called the Periodicals Index. The Periodicals Index lists every article that has been written on every subject in every publication in America. The librarian can guide you to the Periodicals Index. There's one for every year, and as publications expand, sometimes there's one for every 3 months. But you can go back and you can retrieve, usually from microfiche or from the library files, you can retrieve all the articles that have been written on a particular product or service in the last week, last month, last year, last 5 years, and you can make yourself an expert on a particular subject area by using the Periodicals Index. I know many consultants, when their clients ask them about a particular subject, go down to the library, they go through the Periodicals Index, they become extremely well informed on what is going on, and then they sell that advice, at sometimes for hundreds of dollars an hour, to their clients. So check the Periodicals Index. Become intimately familiar with the business before you begin. Number three, seek out people who are already in the same business and ask their opinions of the product or service. Many people have saved themselves an enormous amount of time and money by finding that people who are already in the business wish they weren't in the business, wish they hadn't invested the time or money to get in the business in the first place. So go and talk to them. Ask them what they think about the business. Ask them if they would recommend someone else get into the business. Don't be shy or secretive. Every so often at seminars, I have people come up to me and ask me if I would give them some advice on their business. And I say, well, what is your idea? And they won't tell me what their idea is because they're afraid somebody will steal their idea. Ideas are a dime a dozen. So be perfectly open. Tell people what you're thinking of doing and get the feedback from people who are already in the business. That alone has saved me hundreds of thousands of dollars. It may even have saved me my life on a couple of occasions. Number four is ask your bank manager for his opinion or advice. A bank manager who deals with commercial accounts very often has a tremendously accurate sense for what kind of businesses will succeed and what kind won't. 1 5-minute interview with my business manager a few years ago saved me $200,000 in an investment. He pointed out to me the weaknesses in the particular business I was looking at getting into, and I had no answer for him. And I didn't go into the business, and the people who did lost everything that they put into it. So ask your bank manager. Your bank manager can be one of the very best sources of business advice. Number five, ask your friends, ask your family, ask your acquaintances for information. Family members are very good targets for market research. Ask your family and friends if they would buy the product or service that you're thinking of offering. How much would they pay for it? Listen to their questions. Listen to their criticisms. Listen to their concerns. Because if you can't answer their questions and concerns in a logical and believable way, it could be that there's something wrong with your idea. Number six, another way to do market research is to visit prospective customers for the product or service and ask if they would buy it. If you're thinking of selling something to a company, go to the type of company that you would sell it to and ask if they would buy it if you produced it. If you're thinking of selling something to retail, go to the retailer and ask them if they would buy it or sell it. Ask the customer. Customers are very open and very candid, and sometimes they'll give you insights that will be worth their weight in gold. If you're going to sell through a retailer, ask the retailer if he or she could sell the product if they were carrying it. Why or why not? A seventh thing to do is to research all competitors for the product or service and ask this: why would someone switch to buy from me? If there's already a similar product or service in the market, why would someone leave a product or service that they're comfortable with for your product or service that they don't know anything about? Is your product or service or is your idea cheaper, better, of higher quality, and can you convince enough customers of this to stay in business? Now, the eighth way to do fast, cheap market research is to be suspicious, be wary, develop a cynical, pessimistic attitude, and accept nothing on faith. Look for the fatal flaw. Whenever I've done consulting for a corporation, especially when they've asked me to research an investment, I always look for the fatal flaw. I always look for the one thing that's wrong with this investment that could cost my client a lot of money. And you know something? In 99 out of 100 cases, I find the fatal flaw. I find something in a contract or a mortgage agreement or something in the way the land is laid out or the way the distribution arrangements are signed, something that is fatal that if it were not caught would lead to the failure of the business. Now, when you're thinking of getting into somebody else's business or somebody is selling you on their business, or even if somebody else is trying to sell you an existing business, look for the reason why. There's always a fatal flaw when someone is trying to sell you a successful money-making opportunity. If you can't find the fatal flaw, only then should you go ahead with it. The ninth thing that you can do is when considering a business that is for sale, find out why. Very few people will try to sell you a successful business. Usually people who are selling a business are selling it because they're losing money on it. Many people say, well, the reason I'm selling this business is because I want to concentrate on something else. No, the reason they're selling the business is because they're losing money on it. And you must find out why a person would sell a successful business. Number 10, look at the business before you go into it as though you're going to be in it for 20 years. The long-term perspective sharpens the short-term. If you look at any business venture, any product or service, as though you're going to be doing this 20 years from now, you'll find you're much, much more astute in making decisions in the short-term if you consider the long-term at the same time. Finally, seek out and listen carefully to people who are negative towards your idea. Look for negative thinkers, because their viewpoints can be invaluable and save you a fortune in time and money. I have a friend who is a lawyer, and he recommends and gives advice to many people on investments. And what he does is this. When someone comes and they want to make an investment that he's unsure about, he says, all right, I want you to come to my office and I want you to sit behind my desk. And then I'm going to come in and I'm going to present this investment to you, and I want you to critique this investment as if you were me. And he says that when his clients begin critiquing the investments they're thinking about going into, when they begin becoming negative thinkers about the investments, he says they are astonished at how bad the investments really are. He said he has saved his clients millions of dollars by forcing them to be negative thinkers about their own ideas, simply by switching roles and sitting in front of the desk while they sit behind the desk. But don't be overly influenced by negative thinkers. Just take their viewpoints into consideration. There's a famous story of Mary Hudson, who started off with $200 in the middle of the Depression and leased a gas station that two men had gone broke running at two different occasions. And from that, she built a company called Hudson Oil, which is now the biggest independent distributor of gas and oil in the United States, from a $200 investment, even though everybody told her she would fail. So remember, listen to negative thinkers, but don't necessarily accept their advice. How do you test market a product or service? How do you find out if people are actually going to buy it? First, make or get a prototype. Create or get a sample. If it's being manufactured somewhere else, get a sample of it. If you're going to manufacture it yourself, create a prototype so that you can show it, demonstrate it, photograph it, so that you can let people see it, touch it, feel it, and get an opinion from it. When we brought the Suzuki four-wheel drive vehicles into North America, we bought three of them, brought them in, and drove them around to about 20 or 30 dealerships and let people look at them, test drive them, see them, touch them, smell them, feel them, and went on to sell thousands and thousands of vehicles. So get a prototype or a sample. That's the starting point. Second is get accurate prices and delivery dates from your suppliers. If you're going to show the prototype or sample, if a person says, how much is it, or how long will it take to get it, be sure that you have the answers. Number three is get a buyer's personal opinion. In other words, go to somebody who you will want to buy the product or service and get their personal opinion. Say, would you buy this, and at what price? Could you sell it? And always call on the individual who makes the buying decisions. Always call on the person who can sign the check. Number four is compare your product or service with other products on the market. And again, ask this question, why would someone buy from you instead of from someone else? Number five, if it's a retail product, try a one-store test. Go to a store and see if you can't find a store who will carry the product on a limited basis and see how customers respond to it. Try a one-customer test. If it's a product or service, try and find one customer who will use the product or service. Now, Ross Perot, when he started EDP Industries, only had $1,000. He had a great idea that would cost an enormous amount of money to implement, and he was able to sell his first customer on paying him in advance for the services that he was going to sell him. With the money that he got in advance, he was able to deliver the services to prove that they worked and that they were cost-effective, and the rest is history. A sixth way to test market a product or service is take it to a trade show. There are 15,000 trade shows per annum all over the country, and sophisticated buyers go to trade shows and they will tell you very rapidly whether or not you have a winner. Now, this is not always the case. The people who developed the game Trivial Pursuit took it to a toy and hobby show in Toronto and only sold 132 sets. Then a couple of months later, they took it to another show in Montreal and only sold 144 sets. So they changed their strategy and they directly approached a major toy and game company, Hasbro Industries. Hasbro picked up the game, and the next year they sold $750 million worth. So sometimes trade shows can be helpful, sometimes they can't. But go and try your product in trade shows. Seven, ask your friends, ask your relatives, even ask yourself if you would buy it or if they would buy or use the product or service. Sometimes your mother is a very, very good test case. Sometimes your father, sometimes your brothers or sisters or friends will give you some very accurate feedback on whether or not you've got a winner. If they say yes, they would buy the product or service, take a firm commitment. Take an order. Ask them for an order. Ask them for a check. Sometimes people will say, yes, I think it's a great product or service, but when you ask them for a check or you ask them to actually part with money, they'll come up with 1,000 reasons why not. Sometimes people will encourage you to get into a business that you shouldn't get into, and when you go back to them later, you'll find that they won't be your customers at all. Remember, the essence of a successful business is really quite simple. It is your ability to offer a product or service that people will pay for at a price sufficiently above your costs, ideally 3 times or 4 times or 5 times your costs, thereby giving you a profit that enables you to buy and to offer more products and services. It's very simple. The key to a successful business is to add value by bringing the product or service from another place to where you're selling it, or by creating the product or service and selling it at a price higher than your total cost of production. You become wealthy by either selling a few products or services at high prices or by selling many products or services at lower prices with smaller profits. The best strategy, of course, is to aim to sell a larger volume with a smaller profit on each item. Most great fortunes in America have been made selling large quantities of products over a wide area, thereby broadening the market and reducing your dependency on just a few customers. For instance, selling yachts rather than chewing gum. There are few fortunes that are based on selling yachts, but there are major fortunes that are based on selling chewing gums. A basic rule is this: if you want to dine with the classes, you must sell to the masses. If you want to dine with the classes, you must sell to the masses. Early in my business career, I learned another key rule for business success, and it's simply this: start off in an established field and only experiment with new products or services out of your profits from your established business. One reason many entrepreneurs fail is that they have grandiose ideas of being the first into the market with a brand new, untried, unproven product. Don't you fall into this trap. As you begin to magnetize your mind with visual images of wealth and success, as you begin looking everywhere for profitable ideas, you will begin to attract into your life the people and opportunities you need to achieve your goals. I've learned from long experience that you must learn to trust your intuition, your gut feeling, concerning any business decision. Read every publication, explore every opportunity, remain open to all ideas, but in the final analysis, trust yourself. Trust your inner voice to tell you the right thing to do. All great business people become great by listening to their inner guide. It will never fail to lead you to your highest good, and heaven help the person who refuses to listen to it. Now that you're on your way to riches, you know the 7 secrets of success, you are becoming a money magnet, you know how to start from scratch right where you are, and you know how to find a product or service, we're going to talk about the one element without which no lasting business success is possible: creative imagination. In the next session, you will learn how to begin tapping the powers of your mind to overcome your obstacles, achieve your goals, and make you wealthy beyond your dreams.